Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And about the gospel of the kingdom, the clear gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah, and I hope you have the opportunity to go read this on your own, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called, and I love this part of it, oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins, they will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. That is a promise to all of us. Want to talk quickly here about everything going on in the country and just kind of dive right into that. We have, it's even hard to keep up now. It was hard to keep up last year, but let alone this year. It's been incredible watching things happen in real time. In real time. All right. First, I want to talk, it's a little bit of a darker story, but I want to jump to this above the international front right now. We should not worry about the evil one, but we need to call out the evil one for who he is. And with that, we need to talk about some things that are, you know, sometimes hard to talk about, hard to imagine, hard to fathom that they're actually really going on. And one of those is this Washington Times article on the Texas Satanic Temple suing to defend its religious right to ritual abortions. You heard that correctly. They want to sue for the right of child sacrifice. This stuff is real. It's kind of in our face now. We don't really know the depravity of people until we see this stuff, and then it seems like we try to shove it off in the corner. My point with bringing this up is this, that as Edmund Burke said, there is no safety for an honest man except to believe all possible evil of evil men. There is no safety for an honest man except to believe all possible evil of evil men. I am convinced that our acquiescence as a church today has helped to lead to this kind of depravity as the body of Christ. There's some people who say, oh, you can't get involved in politics. It's too dirty. No, the reason it's dirty is because we're not involved in politics. That's why. And now, we're beginning to see Christian churches across the world fall under severe persecution. And I'm not talking in China. I am talking in Europe, and I'm talking in Canada. And we're going to talk about that today and kind of the response that has begun to rise up as a result of this. The first stop on our international front briefing here today is the Cave of Adullam Church in Calgary, Alberta, where Pastor Artur Pawlowski ran off some bureaucrats who had come in to harass them and intimidate them during Passover services. Now, that apparently is a violation of Canadian law to disrupt a church service. So he very rightly shouted them down and ordered them to leave the property immediately, which they eventually did. If you get an opportunity, you can see this article. It's on Gateway Pundit, and I have put it on several of the social media sites that I operate just so people can see this, because this is the way that tyrants should be dealt with. And some people say, oh, no. No, this is the way that tyrants should be dealt with. In fact, no question about it. I'm going to make sure to put it on the rest of the social media sites later today as well, if it's not on the one that you found. Incredible. The idea is, and this is what communists do, the idea is they literally want to come during a church service and intimidate people. And we're seeing this more and more. Now, I'm going to go next to a pastor that I personally know. We've actually had him on several videos that I've done, Pastor Paul Hoyeski, and he is a pastor at an evangelical church in Poland. Now, Pastor Hoyeski has been very outspoken about communists in Poland, and very outspoken about the fact that communists should be kicked out of that country. And in fact, he has been outspoken as well against certain parts of the Catholic Church there. Very fascinating. He was so censored by the media, he started his own media channel, Against the Tide TV, and he is facing 5 years in prison for offending the sensibilities of Catholics in this country. And they accused him of trying to start a war with North Korea, or incite a war with North Korea, with his anti-communist rhetoric. Obviously, this is not isolated and is happening not just there in Poland, not just there in Canada, but other places in the world. But I want to highlight another thing that happened in Canada as well. Canada, in British Columbia, there was a restaurant where, similarly, right in the middle of business hours, they came in, these bureaucrats came in and tried to shut the restaurant down. They were shouted down by the patrons to get out. They finally tucked tail and walked out the door. And I think this just highlights the fact that people have just simply had enough. They have had enough. And we, the people, I think are all better off for it. These guys that are tyrants in the guise of bureaucrats have intentionally abused the law, made it a position that was not about helping the people, was actually about helping themselves, and have tried to do these heavy-handed tactics. And this, again, is not the first time this happened. This happened over the last 10 years. And it's interesting, too, that on top of that, people have been vindicated eventually when they've challenged these bureaucrats. Case in point, the Bureau of Land Management, the whistleblower that came out of that entire debacle, showing conclusively that the government was withholding exculpatory evidence and was engaging itself in the incitement. It's fascinating. Now, what this is resulting in, and let's bring this down now down to the national level on your daily intelligence briefing. What this is resulting in is states now in the United States just saying, we've had enough of this. China Joe and his cadre, we are not going to follow your executive orders. We're not going to enforce them. And they're now invoking nullification in the 10th Amendment. Again, finally, praise God for that. In addition to that, they're going after vaccine passports to the extent, which brings us to the article today, to the extent, and this is coming to us from Bloomberg, actually, that the White House has now rejected vaccine passports because of the public uproar. And WHO, the World Health Organization, has also rejected them as not essentially the right timing. So this doesn't mean that they've given up. Okay, everybody understand this. What they're doing is waiting. And this weird video that came out by Bill Gates here recently, where he essentially says, for the next pandemic, it's like he's planning on it. They clearly are going to use another crisis to kind of gin the sentiment back up. But they're backing off right now because too many people are calling them on the absurdity of the vaccine passports. All right. Next, we're going to go to the New American. We're going to go through a list of several states that are banning these vaccine passports now. And they should keep these bans in place. They should put them in law. In addition to banning these mask mandates, which, I mean, you have almost two dozen states now, it looks like. Okay, so Texas, Governor Abbott announced a ban on government-mandated vaccine passports on Tuesday morning. Here's his quote. Texans shouldn't be required to show proof of vaccination or reveal private health information just to go about their daily lives, end quote. Yep, exactly right. Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who's the first to sign a ban against vaccine passports, called them a privacy violation. So again, they started to back off, these globalists. And they're going to try to figure out a workaround here, or they're going to try to bring it back later when everybody's lulled to sleep. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves told CNN that he does not believe the passports are necessary or a good thing to do in America. Missouri Governor Mike Parson tweeted on Monday that he had no intention of implementing a vaccine passport in his state. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly said on Monday, we will not be issuing those under my authority. Even the American Civil Liberties Union has raised privacy concerns over the requirements of vaccine passports. So again, this is probably not going to be the exact vehicle. Now, I have talked about that they ultimately want to have something like the vaccine passport ultimately implemented as a control device. Right now, they've got so much outcry, they've got to figure out a workaround. But the general principle stays the same here. They want a control mechanism that you have to go through them to go about your daily lives. That's their ultimate goal. Now, they've backed off right now, it looks like, for a little while. But do not be fooled by this. The principle is the same. Because I had people talk to me last couple of days. Were you wrong about that? Well, no, I wasn't wrong about that. This is what they wanted to do. We warned about this years ago, actually. And here is A lot of public outcry. They back off on it, but they still have those plans waiting on the shelf. Understand how these communists work. They wait. They take what's called a dialectical step backwards. This comes from the Hegelian dialectic, Hegel and Marx, okay? This dialectical materialism, what they do is when they face so much opposition, they take a step backwards. Oh, we didn't really mean it. It's not going to be feasible. It's not going to work. Sorry about that. Nothing to worry about here. And then they wait until everybody's lulled into sleep again. And then they try it again in maybe a slightly different form, or they'll change the name or whatever. They try to bring it back. So don't be fooled by this. It's just like the election issue, right? So Trump wins, breaks their algorithms. They got to figure out how to get around that. They stop the counts in the middle of the night. Edison research data looks very clear on this point. Then you had Mike Lindell's recent expose on this, scientific proof. And they wait now. All of that, it's weird. It's like it all went away all of a sudden. And they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And maybe they'll implement a little reform here, a little reform there. But these reforms are things like mandating, essentially, mail-in balloting. Same-day registration. Stuff we've been fighting here in Washington for a long time. And then they come back later. Now, some people were asking me, well, weren't you wrong about the election? Wrong about what? He won. They tried to steal it. Still being fought, actually. And there's some people in, weirdly, some people still defending Vice President Pence, who had the opportunity to stop the fraud, to stop what the Chinese intent was with our election. They even came out in 2016, this speech, and you can read about it. I posted the article up on the various social media pages. 2016, they come out with a speech talking about their intent is to manipulate U.S. elections. They pour money into the United States. They foment unrest in this country. The vice president can't stop that. Whose job was it? Was it the county election boards who failed to stop it? Was it the state legislatures that failed to stop it? Was it the courts that failed to stop it? Was it Congress that failed to stop it? Was it the Senate that failed to stop it? Whose job was this? And Mike Pence had the opportunity to stop everything, wait for 10 days as they further investigated this and acquired physical control and access over voting machines to show an audit of the code, and he didn't do it. 10 days, and he didn't do it. And people are defending him. It's insane. I can't even, like, I don't even understand how you possibly could defend somebody at that level that has been briefed on what the Chinese intent was in this election, the Smartmatic connections to Venezuela, and all of the rest of it, and then try to justify that. His job was to uphold the integrity of the Constitution. And more than that, his moral role, his duty as a self-proclaimed Christian was to stop the spread of wickedness, which is exactly what was happening. Unreal. So now China and Iran are set to cooperate against the United States. The Chinese are running roughshod over different things. The Russians are moving tanks to the Ukrainian border. I mean, Sleepy Joe, China Joe, within 72 hours of being installed, has troops headed back into Syria, removes the protections on our electrical grid, and people are like, oh, didn't see that come. Really? You were warned that that's what was going to happen. And just as a side note here, down in the border region with Mexico, Trump's max holding of illegal immigrant children was 2,600. Biden's now 1,800. I'm sorry, no, not 1,800. 18,000 illegal children being held in these facilities. Just total hypocrisy. Just don't even believe them anymore. They don't even mean what they say. It's just an attempt to create an alternative reality. It's like the local indivisible, right? They live in team fantasy. Well, team reality sees this for what it is. As soon as the pretender was installed, gas prices go through the roof, inflation begins in earnest, and you have bubbles in the real estate market and in the currency markets. And our foreign adversaries are now not taking the United States seriously again. And all the pretender can do is wave from the White House balcony at the empty South lawn with a bunny. All right. That was on InfoWars if you want to go check it out. If you want to check out this article on this evangelical Polish pastor, go to Liberty Sentinel. Liberty Sentinel, that's Alex Newman's publication. We've had him on the show many times before. All right. Now, this coming out today, everybody, I want you to listen. I want you to go, and I'm going to post this article. I want you to share this with your family members, okay? And I want you to hear this. This is coming from the European Union. Quote, COVID-19 vaccine. And we know it's not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy, but this is the title. Okay, quote, COVID-19 vaccine has clear association with brain blood clots. This coming from the European Union. Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and other nations have suspended the use of AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine gene therapy over concerns it is linked to blood clots. The manufacturer denies any link, but an official with the European Union's agency in charge of evaluating medicines believes there is a, quote, clear association, end quote, between the two. So, of course, the manufacturer is going to deny a link. Of course. But an official with the European Union's agency in charge of evaluating medicines believe there's a, quote, clear association, end quote. Marco Cavalieri, the chairman of the European Medicines Agency, said, quote, we can now say it. It is clear that there is an association of the brain blood clots with the vaccine, end quote. I'm going to read this again. Quote, we can now say it. It is clear. Okay, clear that there is an association of the brain blood clots with the vaccine, end quote. WorldNet Daily has the article. Go check it out for yourselves. Yeah, incredible. And we're still talking about this. All right, I'm going to move back to the international front for a second, because this is just so weird. This is coming to us from Technocracy News. Sweden dumps Bill Gates' plot to dim the sun with chalk dust. It's like, what? What is that about? So Sweden, a huge supporter of the UN's Sustainable Development Program and one of the most progressive nations on Earth, and yet even they see that what Bill Gates is trying to offer to fill the stratosphere with chalk dust is ridiculous. Okay, so the Swedish Space Corporation, SSC, released a statement saying that the stratospheric controlled – this is how they mask this stuff – perturbation experiment, okay? The stratospheric controlled perturbation experiment, okay, will not go ahead as planned in June. That's the chalk dust plan, okay? So we're not going to put chalk dust – we're not going to put chalk dust in the air because that would be insane. Okay. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You just can't. Oh, all right. On another note, coming back to the national front, the Chosen series. I love this series. Guys, if you have not If you have not watched The Chosen TV series, it is fantastic. A fantastic depiction of Jesus Christ, generally historically accurate, brings in the Jewish tradition and the Jewish context. I love it. Check it out. It premiered over the weekend on Resurrection Sunday. Oh, wow. Now, at the local front and the local level, here's what is going on. We have a major announcement that is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. I think everybody's going to be really happy about this. There's a major announcement that's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks here locally. So stay tuned for that. And just be ready to come together as the body of Christ to stand against the tyranny that is coming in all around us. And I want to say, I just got this. This just came in from a listener. Apparently, there are some Chinese leaders in the Chinese Communist Party that are refusing to get the COVID vaccination, but won't say why. Oh, man. The reality is beginning to hit people in the face, I think, right now. But in the next few weeks, this is going to be happening where we are going to have a major announcement. Really looking forward to it. I think you're going to be very excited about this, and it is bringing the church together. I love that. I also do want to say, if you have not seen the readout report, readoutreport.com, fantastic news aggregate. You got one place you can go to get all your news. It's got all the great sources on it from Gateway Pundit and Breitbart and The New American and Liberty Sentinel. It's got them all in one place. Fantastic. So go check that out. And also this Thursday at 6:30 p.m., Covenant Church Spokane, Iron Sharpens Iron, Bevelin Beatty, among many others, going to be there. Pastor Kent Peters, we're going to be crushing the communist narrative that night. Look forward to seeing you then. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and listening and spreading the word. We can't do this alone. And so thank you, everybody out there, especially all the unsung heroes that help make this program happen. My producer, Jim, and all of the other folks that help with the technical side of this, really appreciate it. We are a great team, and it is just grateful to have everybody on board with this. Okay. I do also want to remind everybody as well that if you want to catch any back episodes of Patriot Radio, you can go to Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon. You can also hear the replay live on the ACN network, but it's a replay, but it is broadcast on the ACN network 9 o'clock every Tuesday and Thursday across the whole ACN network, Eastern Washington, Northeast Oregon, Northern Idaho. All right. It's my pleasure today to introduce Luis Antonio Miguel. He's a writer whose journalistic endeavors shed light on the deep state, the immigration crisis, and the enemies of freedom. You can follow him at luisantoniomiguel.com. I'll put that up on the social media sites as well. And also, he's running for the U.S. Senate in the Florida primaries against Marco Rubio, which is fantastic. Luis, it's great to have you on Patriot Radio. How are you doing?
Hey, Representative Shane, it's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about this immigration crisis down at the border. You know, at the peak, Trump had 2,600 illegal children in facilities, holding facilities down there. Now it's up to like 18,000. What's really going on down there? What should the listeners know about what's happening at the southern border?
Absolutely. You know, first of all, obviously there's a concerted narrative. All of us can see the hypocrisy. The hypocrisy, just identifying it, does nothing but still for amusement purposes, it's funny to see that coverage. How under Trump, all of a sudden, it was the literal incarnation of Hitler, apparently. And now, with Biden in office, the whole thing is swept under the rug. Now, what's going on? Why is there such a huge crisis right now? Well, because frankly, Biden himself, his administration, are encouraging it. This is an entirely deliberate phenomenon. It's not an accident. It's not spontaneous. People need to understand that the entire situation at the border, it has been orchestrated not only by the Democrats, but a lot of these well-financed globalist nonprofits and think tanks, Soros and his entities, Open Society Foundations and others, along with legal groups, La Raza, and all of these. You know, they're going into these countries, and first of all, they put out the word that there is going to be strong enforcement at the border, that there's going to be possible amnesty, there's going to be welfare. And so people start coming. And then you have all these nonprofits come out, and they give them legal advice. They help them along the way. Obviously, there's money flowing in, because how did these people cross the entire country of Mexico all the way from Central America on their own? These people apparently have no money. Right, that's why they're fleeing their country. Somehow they have all this money to travel. There's money flowing in there. There's human trafficking. There are cartels. So all of these things, this mixture of dirty money, of crime and human trafficking, of a political agenda, and overarching all of it is this goal and this mission to dismantle our border, because they know that want to destroy a nation, which they do, you first open up its borders, open a pandemonium, and thereby you're able to erode the national sovereignty of a nation. And that's what they're ultimately trying to do as part of the globalist playbook.
It is. So where do you think that this is headed? I mean, they're obviously flooding the country. We already thought they had tried to flood the country. Why now? Why are they doing this right now strategically?
Right. Well, right now they know they have the opportunity to do so because of their control of the federal government, of the White House, and of Congress. They believe that this is their moment, so to speak. They faced a hurdle in the Trump administration, thankfully. And they want to get it done as quickly as possible before they start to see too much backlash. You're seeing that in some states already, like Texas, where people are starting to realize that if the federal government doesn't fulfill its duty to protect the nation's borders, that they're going to have to take in their own hands. Some places like Texas are starting to crack down in their own ways on legal immigration. And that's something that's probably going to be happening in as much as you have Republican or at least conservative leadership in some of these states. And so we need to get this done as quickly as possible. It's actually not just with migration. You can see that with a lot of the things that they've been doing lately. They're part of their agenda, be it the quote-unquote pandemic, and how they just tried to ram all this stuff upon us within a year. Now transgenderism is going, just accelerates all these things because they want to use this opportunity before they feel that the opportunity is gone from them. Their agenda, I'm sure everyone here on listening has heard of Agenda 21 or 2030, the Great Reset, you know, however they want to call it. They understand the public is becoming more awakened to it, to what their plan is, and they see a certain window that they don't want to allow to escape. So they're kind of trying to accelerate and put into place right now. The same with this infrastructure plan, the same with all this climate stuff. They want to do it now, before they feel it's too late and there's too much backlash against it.
I completely agree with that. And so let's jump to the international level in that regard. You know, the pretender gets installed and he begins reversing things very, very quickly. One of the things that he reversed was Trump's sanctions on the International Criminal Court. These are all tied together, though, and I want to make sure that we actually bring these all together. If you could explain to the listeners how Biden doing that actually begins to erode American sovereignty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the entire motto of the Biden administration, you know, actually, don't even call it administration. I'm sorry I said it. The Biden regime, like you said, right. He's a great trend. He's a fake president. He was put in there by a coup. he's an illegitimate president. And so Biden, the first thing, the hallmark of his regime has been not America first, like President Trump's, so it's been America last. And the way he's been doing that has been, like you said, eroding American sovereignty, autonomy, independence. You know, as many of you know who are listening, the goal of the deep state, the nature of the new world order that they want to usher in, is a one world government, a centralized autonomous oligarchy that rules over the entire planet. And so, in order to do that, they have to get rid of the national sovereignty of every country, especially the United States, because it is such a strong and free country. And so, you know, like I mentioned earlier, open borders is part of that. And Joe Biden, the moment he stepped into the White House, started attacking our national sovereignty. Part of that, as we voted over the New American a little while ago, was that he peeled back Trump safeguards, executive orders that have been put in place in order to keep communist China and other malevolent actors from gaining a foothold into our bulk power systems, into our energy grid, basically. So he actually repealed that, making it easy for the communist Chinese to get involved in our American energy. Another one you brought up a moment ago was international court. Now, the ICC, the International Criminal Court, is like the UN, like, you know, World Bank, World Economic Forum, is one of these globalist, unaccountable, unelected internationalist organizations that the globalists hope to use as one of their building blocks for the world government that they envision. And the ICC actually has, sadly, there are countries where they've actually given jurisdiction to this body to have actual power to prosecute crimes within their borders, thankfully, up until this moment. The U.S. has eschewed that, and the ICC can say whatever it wants about us. It has said many things against the U.S., for example, about our actions, the actions of our military in Afghanistan. But, of course, you know, we can tell them, go pound sand. They have no jurisdiction over us. We're a sovereign country. Now, President Trump, when he was in office, he placed penalties on the ICC because of what they were saying in Afghanistan and other things. And he actually made it so that by his actions, there were economic sanctions against their chief prosecutor. Now, what Biden did when he got in was, he's, again, just like he did with the energy, he repealed the executive order terminating the ICC sanctions. He terminated the ICC sanctions. And so now, you know, Biden, he's still playing lip service to sovereignty, saying, oh, we still don't accept what you're saying about this, but we're going to let you operate more freely within our country now. So again, just giving headway for them to start interfering within our country, you know, these unelected international bureaucrats. And then, of course, there's all the stuff that Biden has been doing with China, which is just a discussion in and of itself, really.
Yeah, I think I want to go there next. There's a lot of information out there on what the Chinese intent is. There was unrestricted warfare by the two Chinese colonels, General Xi's speech, which clearly laid out the plan that we've seen unfold in the last couple of years. And then it is now revealed by the Epoch Times of this speech in 2016, where one of the clear intents to come against the United States and bring it down was to manipulate their elections. We're seeing this, and then on top of that, you've reported about how China is bragging about controlling anti-Trump election groups and has ties to fact-checkers. Let's go into that part of it. How bad is this?
Okay, perfect. You know, I guess there's no way to sugarcoat it. It's bad. It's bad, my friend. You know, the communist Chinese, there was someone at the New American, might have been Alex Newman, great writer, who put it perfectly in a headline over an article not too long ago. Communist China buying everything, taking over everything, and they truly are. Now, it is important for people to understand, though, that, and I'm sure many of you listeners do understand this, but communist China didn't become powerful in the vacuum. This is what the mainstream media often wants you to think. They never really want you to know the true history of communist China. In reality, communist China was propped up going back to civil war between nationalists and between the communists led by Chairman Mao Communist China was propped up totally by the American deep state, working hand-in-hand with the Soviet Union to sabotage the nationalists who are ostensibly our allies to allow the communists to get into power. A great book, Robert Welch, again, May God Forgive Us, which tells that story. But and then afterward, just America's policies through China, Richard Nixon going to China, normalizing relationships with them, allowing them to take all of our industry. I mean, in what head does that sound rational? That this communist power allied with the Soviet Union, who in the Cold War against, all of a sudden we're going to allow them to become this great economic power, and not only that, but allow them to actually take our industrial base away from us. So it was all deliberate. But in any case, going on right now, what's going on as far as the election and how is communist China involved? Like you alluded to a second ago, how an article out over the New American. And what it is that one of the biggest propaganda agencies in communist China came out, and this was actually in 2017 that they published a report on their website where they described their propaganda efforts in the Western world. Now, the entity in question is called the Chinese, sorry, it's called the Cyberspace Administration of China, CAC for short, and it's subsidiary, so to speak, of the Communist Chinese Party. Now, the 2017 report was titled Holding High the Banner of Party Media and Fulfilling Its Duties and Missions. And in that report, they talked about online propaganda and public opinion work and pushing a socialist, quote, socialist core value view, all while suppressing dissent within China itself. Now, in that report, they brag about the fact that they basically had in their pocket a number of Western think tanks. And the way that they were doing it, their strategy, was that they used China Daily, which is a party outlet of the Communist Chinese Party, a party media website. And what they're doing is that they make connections with these different think tanks in the U.S. and other Western countries. And they get people from those think tanks to become contributors to China Daily, effectively turning them into not only special commentators, but basically agents of pro-China influence within their home countries. And one of the organizations that they named, that they bragged about having control of, was the Berggruen Institute. Now, the Berggruen Institute is fascinating. You look at the people who are on their, what they call a 21st Century Council, which is kind of like their little elite group within the think tank. And let's take a look at who's in the 21st Century Council. You have Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. You have former Google CEO Eric Schmidt, Huffington Post co-founder Arianna Huffington, and Hellthorne Schmidt, who was on the board of the Facebook oversight board. Now, so they had the Berggruen Institute. Communist Chinese are saying that they have control over it. Now, the Berggruen Institute, one of the big executives there was a gentleman by the name of Nils Gilman. So Nils Gilman, he actually teamed up with Rosa Brooks, who was former counsel for George Soros, and they launched what was known as the Transition Integrity Project. I'm sure many of you have heard about Transition Integrity Project, TIP, played a huge role in the 2020 election. First of all, they were the ones who were promoting this idea of a so-called red mirage, that on election night, Donald Trump would appear to be winning the election, but it would only be an illusion that once all the mail-in ballots were counted, Joe Biden would be revealed to be the true winner. And you know, that's exactly what happened. And they were urging Joe Biden all those months prior to November 6th, they were urging Joe Biden to not concede if it appeared that Trump was winning on election night again, which is what happened. But not only that, the Transition Integrity Project was actually going out and encouraging, they were organizing mass street uprisings, as they call it. They were getting ready that if it looked like Trump was going to, quote-unquote, steal the election, which, of course, for them, was their way of calling, actually trying to protect the integrity of the election, that they were getting these mass street uprisings ready, that they would start causing havoc all around the country, destroying, burning, looting. And they actually even flat out said on their website that they were going to use the Black Lives Matter movement, all the stuff we saw over the summer of 2020. They were using that as the basis. All these activists, basically, they were using the BLM movement as a recruiting ground to get their an army together that they would then deploy if it seemed like they were going to be losing the election. And, you know, after so many people like the New American start exposing this, TIP actually ended up taking its website down just a few days before Election Day.
Right, but we still have a copy of the Transition Integrity Project report. And in that report, it even predicted, I'm using air quotes right now, predicted that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff would leak a memorandum at a key moment, basically saying he wasn't going to back Trump. I mean, even down to that detail, it was in there. And I think people are shocked when they read it that this was clearly planned. This was something that was clearly thought out ahead of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, as we can see now, I mean, it was all linked together. Berggruen Institute working hand in hand with Soros affiliates to create the Transition Integrity Project, which helped to steal the election along with many other players. And all of that openly, you know, being backed at the same time by Communist China. So direct foreign interference in an American election in carrying out a coup against a legitimate president, Donald Trump.
So what is your view in Vice President Pence's role in all of this, you know, where he was put in a position where he could have done something that would have had a material effect on stopping what they were trying to do? What is your sense about him?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I have to admit, even back when President Trump chose him to be his running mate in the 2016 election, I always had this sense that, you know, he chose him in order to balance out the ticket, but he was never truly a MAGA guy. And yeah, he put on a good face and he was supportive of President Trump throughout. But I don't think that he ever truly was, and I think he showed his true stripes, so to speak, in that moment. He had a chance, like you said, to do something materially to preserve the integrity of election, save the election, and he didn't do it. And, you know, I think, honestly, you know, it's not that hard of a thing, you know, that it's your very responsibility, talking about these people, it's their very responsibility to do that. You know, so what? They would get some backlash in the mainstream media, they would get some Democrats calling their names. You know, so what? You know, man up, have a spine, and do what you're constitutionally and morally obligated to do. He didn't do that. So I think that alone speaks to who Mike Pence truly is and truly was.
Yeah. I want to shift gears a little bit here, Luis. We talk about, you know, this whole climate change agenda and Agenda 2030, and now it's Agenda 2045 or whatever. I don't even know. They don't even really know where they're at, I don't think. But there was an article out recently I'd just like to get your reaction to, from Technocracy News. Here's the title: Sweden Dumps Bill Gates' Plot to Dim the Sun with Chalk Dust. And I was like, are we really having that discussion? How absurd is this entire climate change agenda? And if you could, just kind of comment a little bit on that and how it's affecting particularly the United States of America in a negative way.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I did see the headline. I have to admit, I didn't delve too deeply into it more than the headline, but the headline itself, you know, tells a lot about the situation we're in and where these people stand. But absolutely, you know, the whole climate change thing, I mean, it's preposterous, and it's the same playbook that they talk about, follow the science, when in reality they refuse to accept the actual science out there that shows that has this climate change. Yeah, of course it is. It's a natural cycle of the earth. You know, the whole fanaticism about CO2, you know, carbon dioxide is a key component in this earth. You know, we breathe it out as necessary for life on this earth. So, I mean, the whole thing about that is just ridiculous. And it all really, what climate change, global warming, as you used to call it, once upon a time, who knows what they'll call it next, but all of this really is a political agenda. And the agenda is, of course, like we mentioned earlier, that globalist one-world government. But it is also a totalitarian government. And what better way or what better pretext for being able to regulate all human activity than by having this this pseudo-religion? Because they want to get rid of Christianity, so they need to replace it with something. So they have this pseudo-religion of environmentalism or whatever you want to call it, where basically you're worshiping the earth and you have all humans are bad, earth is good, humans are evil, we're vermin. And so look at the way it all plays perfectly in there. Because practically any human activity can be said to contribute to climate change. Well, now you have free reign to regulate what people are eating, how they're farming. You can regulate where they go and when they get to go and how they travel. You get to regulate their jobs and their works and industry and energy. You know, it's just completely total free reign. And only that you get to regulate people themselves, because population control has always been a key component in the totalitarian playbook. And Bill Gates, who you mentioned earlier, is a huge proponent of population control and population reduction for many reasons. I mean, just, it lets you control people. And also, when you reduce the population, a small number of people is easier to control. And so anyway, and so when you have this idea that having too many people produces too much carbon dioxide, it's bad for years, it'll kill everybody, so we have to have less people. Well, now that's perfect justification, according to them, in order to start instituting population control for sterilization, et cetera, et cetera. So again, just in short, the climate agenda is completely phony. It's used as a ruse in order to promote socialism and totalitarianism on a mass scale.
Luis, in the last couple minutes that we have left, where can people go to find out more about you, learn about what you're doing down there in Florida as well?
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I encourage everybody to keep reading the New American magazine over at thenewamerican.com. I've got articles coming out most days of the week. And you can also find out other great writings by other fantastic writers. And also to learn about my candidacy and my bid for Senate in the state of Florida against Marco Rubio, go ahead and visit LuisMiguelForSenate.com. That's LuisMiguelForSenate.com. And you can find me on Parler, Gab, Facebook, Twitter, and most other social media sites to the handle at LuisMiguelUS.
Just a quick comment. Is Marco Rubio a globalist, a Republican in name only?
Short answer, yes, absolutely.
All right, I appreciate that. We've got about a minute left or so. There is a lot of folks out there in the millennial generation that just can't believe that government would just be that bad. What is your message directly to that millennial generation tonight?
My message to the millennial generation is that it can be that bad. And in fact, throughout the course of history, the greatest perpetrators of the crime against humanity have been governments, governments that had too much power. So it's time folks start taking the power back from the government and restore it to where it needs to be in the people. Don't worship government. Worship God. There's only one true God in heaven and his son, Jesus Christ. And if we get back to God, and we get back to giving the honor and glory to him, then he'll start blessing this nation again, and we'll start seeing ourselves delivered from this terrible dilemma that we're facing. Get back to God, folks, and things will work out.
Amen. Luis Miguel, thank you very much. I really appreciate you, and blessings to you and everything that you're doing. Keep up the fight.
Thank you.
All right. Luis Antonio Miguel, you can find his site at LuisAntonioMiguel.com. Also on The New American, he writes a lot of different articles, China, and on what we were talking about there with the climate change, global warming farce. Go check him out. And it's interesting that people are rising up now to challenge the status quo around the country. This idea that we just need to accept the way things are. And the fact of the matter is, fake Republicans have been one of the greatest problems that we have had in this country. Republicans who claim to be on the right side, but they never are. They're the ones that attack conservatives consistently. Groups like the Republicans of Spokane County here locally that do that and have worked or had people at least that are part or associated with their organization working with groups like Indivisible, as we documented from a primary source from a whistleblower. And we have to be careful in this upcoming election because their deception, they being fake Republicans, their deception campaign is going to go into overdrive. And they're going to try to make you think that certain people are more conservative than they really are. They're going to make you think that people were Trump supporters, right, when they really were not. They're going to make you think that they were fiscally conservative when they really were not. They're going to make you think that they were socially conservative when they really were not. They're going to make you think that they were constitutionalist when they really were not. In fact, some of them were directly tied to Marxist organizations here locally. And it's going to be fascinating to watch this happen across America as we the people rise up to reclaim the republic and to stand against the tyrants in whatever form they take. Now, people were saying to me, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, some people, you know, we may disagree with them 20% of the time. No. If you want to find out where your congressman or your senator stands, go to the Freedom Index. See where they rank in comparison to AOC. And that's going to tell you where they really are at in defense of the Constitution. Because dozens and dozens and dozens of so-called Republicans actually scored lower than AOC on a constitutional freedom index. And that's just unacceptable. We as Christians need to treat politics like a mission field again. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. And may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.